Chapter 6. The King's Sorcerer and the Fox Prophet. The next day, as Katami woke up, though something scared him senseless. For some bizarre reason, he could not explain what the sensation was. He looked outside his window, scared as to what happened, and saw nothing. Katami was in a terrified state, and something had to be done to fix it. Thankfully, Misagi was already awake and observed Katami's actions. She just pulled him down, held him close, and comforted him. She did not know what was happening, but she knew Katami was not in a good state of mind. He was afraid of someone who was out for him, and likely at the highest sources of power for the major part. It seemed something would also cause him to worsen it, and it was apparently one of those days. Misagi just kissed his cheek and just murmured for him to relax. She rubbed his back as he started to calm down, though she looked up into his eyes and she noticed something wrong with his face. She just pulled him closer, catching him off guard, and she simply asked him, "Trouble sleeping, Katami?" Katami simply nodded and told Misagi, "I do not believe I had told you this, but I have a recurring nightmare that sometimes makes me lose sleep." His voice trembled with fear as he described the nightmare in exact detail. He explained it like this. He was inside a blank room with no doors, windows, or anything. It was just empty white space, of which he was trapped in. This started to scare him severely, as he had something similar happen when he was a child, of just being stuck in a room without windows, doors, or anything to signify what this room was. This trauma was enough for him to have this nightmare, even after leaving Roquad. Further into the dream, a voice dripped with venom as it told him,
"Thine dreams, fantasies, and heresies are fruitless, Katsumi. Thou shalt follow thine brethren, or die."
To which, in the dream, Katsumi replied,
"I shalt never follow thee. Thine falsehoods, convenience, and sin make thee moot in the eyes of mine creator. In his authority I shall not revere nor obey thee. Get thee out of my sight."
The room became darkened, and he started screaming in pain. While he was dreaming this, Katami tossed and turned, attempting to get this dream out of his mind, since clearly something was wrong. He continued explaining that this pain would not transfer to his physical body and was likely a torture method developed by a sorcerer who had it out for fox folk like Katami. This was a hex that was way more common among the fox folk, who would not take the mark of destruction, for in which time the creator would never forgive if they knowingly took it. Inside the dream, however, Katami was in pure agony, the likes of which he had never seen. He screamed in such pain, as if swords were piercing his entire body, making it seem like he was going to die. In his mind, he had a fear of someone attempting to murder him, which was why he was forced to homestead, so as to avoid this possibility. However, he also regaled to Misagi that this torture method had different techniques that a sorcerer, warlock, or witch would end up having to set up properly in order to affect the victim. As he explained all this and more, his voice trembled with great fear, and a couple of times, he almost cried. This affected him deeply, to the point where he seemed to have been shocked to his core. This was the reason why he was driven to do what he did, so he would avoid this great fear that shook him so deep. It was unfortunate, the circumstances, but given the fact that he never strafed left or right from the path, as far as he was aware, this was an attempt to get him to do just this. He would never do such a thing, as that was betrayal waiting to occur. Insomuch as his own fleeting thoughts on attempting to escape it, he tried everything to counter it, even using his set-apart text. None of it worked, so he would have to find a different way to escape this torture, of which he suffered from greatly. given the pure truth that Katsumi was not even beginning to uncover the depths of this dream. For this would take a lot of tears held back to explain it all. He got all the symbols of it. He interpreted the dream as an attack on him, using some sophisticated magic in order to cause him such great paranoia. Of these, the SOM, as the Society of Mahshila was shorthanded, had always desired for him. This was the ultimate price he was paying for rejecting the letter of the Bachenbach, for he knew they were all connected to the SOM. Even King Artoriad, his predecessors and successors, would also be under the thumb of. This was something that was wholly antagonistic to Katami's sound doctrine, of which was not his, but Methuselah's. It seemed as if the truth was freeing him, but he was being pressured to stray from the path Methuselah laid out for him. Misagi, as she heard this account, widened her eyes in shock before she herself would start feeling sorrowful for him. She was beginning to understand that this was no ordinary nightmare, for it was a spell specifically designed to mess with one's mind until they expired. The goal of the spell was to scare someone to literal death. But Katami always somehow survived this heinous attack against his drastic being. Despite all the mental attacks against him, Katami always fought through them, even if it was too harsh for a normal person or fox to do. This was the only thing standing in the way between true inner peace and his devotion to Methuselah and his teachings. There was nothing Katami would do to stray from it. Misagi, meanwhile, just cuddled him and stayed with him until he was calm, which was pretty much the only thing she could do for him. It was starkly clear this was more complex than originally thought, as Katami had such a terrible childhood that led to him reading the entirety of his holy text. This was only done so he could realize how much of a fool he felt like, finding everything out as it was supposed to be. Everything he thought was correct was not, and he had to relearn everything from scratch, and even find teachers who knew these texts better than he ever could. This started at 16, when he left Roquad and became a nomad. He had a ton of time on his hands, so he was able to learn the entirety of the texts, their meanings, and even some of the clarification texts out of the thousands available. Some were found to be fallacious and dishonest, while others were just uninformed and naive. The only texts he found to be useful were those who referenced the writings of those from the age of Mosteric, when a historical view of these texts prevailed. Katami would always be a historical interpreter of the apocalyptic writings for the Fox Folk, and understand that a supermajority of the prophecies were already fulfilled before today, as it was for the past 4,000 years. Katami always knew that anything else pointing to a future or past interpretation, or even a solely spiritual interpretation, was the job of the SOM, whom he hated with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. This was his to shine, and Katami was all in on it. When the emotional strength was regained, Katami slid out of his bed and got ready for his day as he would always perform it. Despite the amount of trauma he suffered in the past, he always bounced back and became stronger, sharper, and more mentally clear. It came at a cost, as he would be more aggressive, violent, and candid with his word choice, even if it included threats found in the set-apart texts. This clearly harkened back to time where violence was one of the worst forms of dishonesty one could make. Katami believed, and still did, that it was the case in the modern day, despite the fact that it was always condemned. Even nowadays, Katami was unable to come to grips with having to use violence as a weapon, and instead always had it as a last resort, with a few exceptions, majority of which occurred earlier in the week. This was another part of the trauma he experienced as a young half-fox Todd. In his mind, that trauma was to be destroyed, though this nightmare could not through conventional means, and required something else, maybe even Methuselah's help, in order to rid himself of it. After getting ready and drinking his tea, he tended to his garden as per the usual. As he was going through this process, however, a sharp pain suddenly hit his brain. He screamed bloody murder as it hit him like a group of goons attacking him all at once. Misagi heard this and rushed out to the garden. In her mind, this was worse than what happened during the morning. Holy cow, was it a sight to behold. Katami on the ground, screaming as if he were being targeted for murder, face turning red due to the sharp pain flowing throughout his entire body, convulsing due to how strong the pain was. His body, meanwhile, was seizing due to the sheer amount of pain that was present in his body, and there was nothing he knew about that could fix it. To Misagi, this was indeed a curse that hit him years ago, and she did not know what to do. As Katsukun returned from his errand, he witnessed Katami in this rather horrible state, as Katami screamed in such agony to that of three wars. Katsukun rushed to help him. Misaki looked up at him and told him, "It is hopeless right now. Katami's being attacked by a sorcerer." "Of course it would be an SOM shaman doing that." Katsukun immediately knew what was up, knowing how these sorts of people worked. "When did the pain start?" "Just but a couple of minutes ago. It was getting worse from there." Misagi then saw Katami's face redden to the color of lava and magma while he was breathing heavily. Katsukun saw this too and snapped his head to Misagi's direction, saying, "We need to get him to a healer, quick! This is serious!" "Under my watch, shall this not happen?" A voice had startled both Misagi and Katsukun. When they turned, they observed this lanky man, who looked to be an old human wearing your typical legalist garb, a green robe with a tiny miter on the top of his head. "This fox is the sufferer for not wanting to become a son of his greatness." Katsukun was livid when he heard this. He stood up and got to the man's face before inquiring with voice venom, "Then why did you hurt this man for his steadfast word? What made you want to turn him into a son of Mahshela?" Katsukun was very careful with his wording, as one slip would see him murdered. "Did I not tell you why? It is a requirement to become a son of his greatness, even if he was not from the royal line." This was a typical lie to attempt to get away with it, and this man knew it. So did Katsukun. "How about you become one yourself, ye filthy snake?" He would then slash the throat of the old mage with his dagger, of which the mage had not seen. "This is thine judgment, for thou shalt be stoned for thine actions. Thy hatred for humanity shall stop this day, for I shall let the sun, moon, and stars bear witness against thee." Katsukun said this as he stuffed the mage in a body bag made out of a sack of potatoes and some lining to prevent leakage. This killed the mage, deservedly so, for it was his judgment as he was caught attempting to torture Katsumi to death. Denying reality like this was cause for reasonable stoning, though this type of stoning was rare to say the least. As Katsukun stuffed the man inside the bag, Katsumi slowly regained himself back. The pain in his head was gone, his seizure had ceased, the screaming had stopped, and everything was back to normal. When he regained his consciousness again, Katsumi sat up and rubbed his head. He sighed before pointing out, "That hurt like I was shot with an arrow."
"It was much worse than that, Katami." Misagi held him close before telling him, "I saw what had happened, and we were unable to control it."
"At least that complete walking sack of human feces had been slain for attempting to slay Katami." Katsukun calmed down slightly. "We do not need another situation like that again." Out of nowhere came a whack on Katsukun's head with what looked like a club. They have been compromised once again, as this was a setup from the SOM. Katsumi stood up and grabbed the attacker's waist and threw him over his head onto the ground, still holding him in the process. Katsumi then punched the assailant's face to a bloody pulp, channeling all of his anger. This was an assassination attempt.
that would seemingly not be stopped. Just as Katsumi finished killing off this clubber, another individual grabbed Misagi and attempted to pull her away. Katsumi rushed towards her and ripped her out of the groper's hands. Katsumi snarled,
"Thou shalt all become sons of his greatness, for the sun, moon, and stars are witnesses against every soul I come across. Ye are unclean, and uncleanness shall be cut off from mine people."
Katsumi immediately rushed towards this groper, knocked him to the ground, and one haymaker punch did the trick in knocking him unconscious. Just as this was done, the sharp pain started again, this time much more severe than before. Everything from the previous attack occurred, plus the added detriment of throbbing in the brain, as if he was about to leave his brain hemorrhaging soon. Misagi attempted to find the individual responsible for it, but Kata-kun beat her to him. A purple robe-wearing mage had his spellbook out in plain sight, and Kata-kun saw it. Thankfully, Kata-kun was not knocked out, just knocked around a little bit. Kata-kun would immediately stab the mage's throat and say the same thing he did to the green robe-wearing mage he just brutally killed in defense of Katsumi. Preemptively, of course. Katsumi's brain stopped hurting, though everything else was still happening. These mages seriously desired Katsumi's death, and they would do whatever it took to ensure it would happen. It did not matter if Katsumi had someone with him or not. This torture was nothing more than a sight to behold. When the time was coming for Katsumi to still stand his ground, this was an attempt to derail that entirely, because he spoke the truth to light. If he were not murdered by them, and them alone. Katsumi never wanted to join any SOM-aligned organization, because he would be an SOM warlock himself, which was taking the mark of destruction, as was written in the apocalyptic writings. Misagi screamed, "We are surrounded." This was an ear-shattering yelp that made every single one of the mages in the area deaf, though Katsumi and Kata-kun were not. This was because her ear-shattering ability came from her bloodline. Her family had the ability to do this since her great-grandmother inherited it from her husband. After this scream, the level to that of a banshee, all of the mages were forced to depart since they had no ability to remember the proper incantations, since their brains were now also devoid of this ability too.
"My ears!"
Many of the mages screamed in pain as they had no ability to hear anymore. This was something that started right as they heard Misagi scream.
"We should have protected ourselves!"
One other mage, a grand mage, was not too hard of hearing after this.
"She has the ability to make our ears useless if we are not careful!"
Meanwhile, Katsumi was, once again, slowly regaining consciousness. This time, it would stick, as none of the other mages were around him. Misagi and Kata-kun, as a result of Misagi's horrendous scream. This was a scream so earth-shaking that there was nothing anyone could do once they were hit with this sensation. The deafness hit like a ton of bricks, and it was instant for those who were targeted by the frequency attack. It was unlikely that someone would end up healing from this deafening attack, one so violent that even those who could not handle the effects of the attack would pass away as a result of major setbacks. In no manner could this have happened without the express alignment of the stars, and maybe the planets. The signs were all there, and it was only a matter of time before an attempt would be made to heal from it to some degree. Katsumi and Kata-kun were fine, however, as it was found greatly that they were not affected. The only way to not be affected by this ability was to be trustworthy enough to not suffer from its impact. Then again, it was humbling to realize that even one's own abilities could be limited to something as powerful as that when one was a fox being, half fox or full-blooded fox. Being a fox at all had its advantages, and made one chosen in the Creator's eyes. People like King Artoriath XII knew this,
and wanted them gone as a result. The biggest result was just nothing more than people having nothing to care for anymore, as this was detrimental to anybody's health. The three of them rushed inside, locked the outside doors, and stayed inside in order to calm down and think up a plan, for they knew this would happen again. It was not a matter of time of if it would happen, but when it would happen was the bigger question. It could have come quickly. It could have taken a long time, though it did not matter when push came to shove in the grand scheme of things. There was nothing they could do to control the outcome, and they did not care in the slightest about this fact. They accepted it and prepared accordingly. There was nothing that the three of them were unable to do, though all it took was some thought, internal motivation, and action. That was all they needed, as that was how they grew up, despite doing it for the wrong reasons for 16 years. That said, however, it was not too late to start planning for if things hit the windmill. This may have been extreme, but they always would prepare for the worst and hope for the best.